Tried learning like new games. They're just kind of used to the games we all grow up with. There are people who I know are like big poker players and like, hey, I've got games that'll tickle that itch for you. And like, nah. It's like, and it's like, you know what? I'm trying to include you in this big social thing and have fun with you, and not everyone wants to do that, and that's fine. I don't push people too hard, but I also think you would love this, and you would have a great time, and you would get to hang out with a bunch of people. And why not?
At least give it a go.
At least
And
give it a
then say
go.
no afterwards.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's always good to try things once. You never know. But we're gonna have to wrap this up here right now. So thank you for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org, and you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you peeve off your friends through the games you make them play. Have a good one.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre. A place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM. Or KBOO.FM. Where we make musical structures for the listener to enjoy.
KBOO Radio, Voices of Vision with Charles and Pallavi. Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in our community. We aim to inspire, inform, and connect. Voices of Vision is a storytelling platform that amplifies the authentic voices shaping our communities in Oregon. Each episode will spotlight entrepreneurs, creatives, change makers, and thought leaders whose work inspires, informs, and drives meaningful impact. Through candid conversations, real stories, we'll explore themes of purpose, resilience, innovation, equity, and cultural identity. Whether you're a visionary in making or someone looking to stay connected to the community-driven change, Voices of Vision is where passion meets purpose on air. I am your host, Pallavi Pandey, founder and owner of two small businesses here in Oregon. One of them is a sustainable tableware company, and the other one is a full-service Amazon firm where we help other founders sell, scale, and grow on Amazon.
And I'm international speaker, radio, TV host, adjunct professor, author. Excited to be here.
All right, so on our show today, our guest...
Well, how's it going, though, first?
Oh yes, that's your question. Yeah, How is it going today?
Yeah, how's it going? I mean, you were gone for a while.
I was gone for 30 days.
30 days? Where?
I went to India.
India?
For my sister's wedding.
Oh.
30 days of fun, food, family.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Great. Cool.
And now I'm sleepy and jet lagged. So if you ask me how's my day, I am jet lagged and sleepy.
Well, great. Nice to see you. Long time.
Likewise.
All right.
Thank you, Charles, for asking. And let me ask you back. How are you feeling? How's your day?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny. I did not sleep at all today. I was so excited to see you and Kim that I couldn't sleep today. So I'm going to be wired, but that's good for TV and also radio. So there you go.
Wonderful. You don't look like a zombie at all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I usually have bags under my eyes, but I mean, maybe I should do this more often.
Yeah, whatever self-care like you're doing, it's working.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, well, enough of us. Today on our show, I want to introduce our guest, Kimberly Curry. Mm-hmm. And joining us is the brilliant mind behind Curry and Collective, a Portland-based brand strategy and C-suite advisory firm with a career that began in global tech, leading companies for IBM and Microsoft. Kimberly now helps companies navigate the human side of digital transformation. Known for her forward-thinking lens on AI, talent, and culture, she's here to share how five key mindset shifts can future-proof both careers and companies. You're welcome, Kimberly. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Thank you for asking.
Well, Kim, tell us more about yourself. Tell us where you're from originally
I was born in Charleston, West Virginia, and my parents, as soon as they could, got the heck out of Dodge and moved up to Staten Island, New York. So I'm kind of an East Coast girl. That's where I grew up, mostly in Boston, and moved out here to work for Wieden & Kennedy.
Wait, do you like it here in Portland?
I do. I've been here for 28 years. I live on 5 acres on a farm.
Like, wow.
I took the job. I'm like, oh, I'll do Wieden for 2 years and like head back east.
Hmm.
Two kids, farm, horses, like the whole thing. I'm so here. Hmm. Yeah, love it.
But no farm life before that?
I mean, I was always a horsey gal, but live on acreage.
Yeah.
Where would you find that kind of space?
Yeah. Not in Boston or Manhattan.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love it here.
All right. So tell us more about what do you like about here, then, other than the acres and all that stuff? Do you like
you know
the
what?
Rain? Do you look, is that okay with you?
Because yeah.
That's like, I mean, Boston has rain.
Yeah, I just came back from Boston, like literally last night. And I think people here are a little bit more genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do love my Bostoners, and when I land in the airport and I hear the accent, I'm like, oh, I'm home.
Uh-huh.
But I really like the vibe here.
Mm.
And my kids are very much Portlanders. Yeah.
Very nice.
I agree with the vibes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we were kind of joking behind the scenes. I just met you today, but
yes.
You knew Pallavi. How'd you meet Pallavi?
Well, so a woman who was a former client who's now a dear friend, Sherry Katsawan, knew what I was trying to do, and she's like, I think you need to, you have to tell me how to say
Kush.
I was going to say cash, I knew that wasn't right. Kush, you have to meet Kush, and I met with him a couple of times, and he was very helpful in helping me shape how I talked about this kind of new idea, and I was at the time, and still am, a little bit ahead of the market, but now, it's catching up to me, thankfully, finally. Mm. So.
Cool. So tell us more about your business then.
Yeah. So I'm a brand strategist by training. So
Grew
up in technology, running like big techno brands. Like for example, when I was in Manhattan, I was part of the team that led IBM Solutions for a Small Planet. And we were spending $1 million a day in media globally.
Wow.
It was the biggest account in the world. I had teams all over the place. I traveled all over the world. And I just really enjoyed taking things that seemed complex and being able to bring the story of that to life in a way that was accessible and motivating.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a brand strategist, really the job is to keep lay that foundation to do the insight gathering so that companies, they're mining the insights, they're valuing the insights, and they're celebrating the insight about what makes them unique and what makes them necessary and to whom. Because when you know those things, then you can build, then you have clarity so you can scale. And I really love that part of the process.
Great. What is your mission?
Yes. So my mission is to guide great companies. I don't work with jerky companies.
Great companies.
Great companies in mining, valuing, and celebrating insight about what makes their brand unique and necessary and to whom.
Can you say that one more time?
Yes.
Bring it home to us.
So I got weak, right? It's a team. Great companies.
Yeah.
Great companies.
Yeah.
In mining, valuing, and celebrating insights, like deep knowledge, like uh-huh. foundational knowledge about what makes them unique
yeah. mm.
and necessary, mm. and to whom.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's great.
I want to circle back on that.
Please do.
How do companies become great? Like, well, how do they reach that benchmark that you would want to?
So it's interesting. It's kind of circular because it's there has to be an intent to do something very, very much worthwhile. So they're not just out to make money. They want to make their mark in the world.
Great. You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision, with your host Pallavi and Charles Shamri.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in our community right here in Oregon. Here at KBOO, find all the information about this episode at kboo.com.fm. I'm sorry. All right, now you can see I'm jet lagged, right? I'm also stammering here. So
that's fine. You know, on some other episodes, I was saying KBO. It's KBOO Radio, so I've been very, like, careful about that. So,
right.
Kim, you know, watch me. Make sure
okay,
I say
I'm on
each
it.
O.
On it.
Go ahead.
Well, those were great questions. Now I'd like to deep dive and get to
our fireside chats
yes.
with Pallavi.
Yes, let's get to the fireside chat. Are
yes.
you ready?
I am ready.
I'm going to throw the fireballs.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Please do.
All right, I have some fun questions for you. Let's go back to, let's fast forward.
Yeah.
It is 2030.
Yeah.
Imagine. Okay,
right.
Everybody here in this room, imagine.
Yes.
It is 2030. And what is the nature of work?
Right.
Describe a day in the life of, say, a lawyer or a salesperson.
Right. So I think the connective tissue to this conversation is the impact of AI and digital transformation. So what I've been doing is taking the brand strategy work and saying, oh, the same tools and techniques we use is actually meaningful over here when we help companies who are going through digital transformation.
Mm.
And I'll give you a very quick anecdote. So remember when Facebook became Meta?
Yeah.
And they spent trillions of dollars on the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
And they also changed their name at the same time. And during that time, if you had asked 10 people internally why they were making this change, you would have heard 10 different reasons because there was no clarity. And they ended up, and this was between 2022 and 2024, and they ended up losing $230 billion in a single day of market cap because the Wall Street finally realized they don't have a plan.
Oh.
So that's a macro example of why you want to have that clarity so you can scale.
Hmm.
And now AI is like so much of how we work. And so an anecdote I have around that is, we're all probably familiar with the movie Apollo 13. And they're up in the space, they're up in the space pod,
yeah.
And they're being poisoned by the air because they don't have the right filters.
Hmm.
And Houston has to recreate the things that they have so they can remake, they can figure out a way to fix the filters. And so somebody comes in with the box, puts it on the table and says, here's all the things that are up in the space thing. You need to do the work of recreating. That box, that's the AI.
Mm-hmm.
The human part are the specialists around the table
mm-hmm.
who are like, okay, we got to make this happen. We got to
mm-hmm.
figure it out. And they knew from a human standpoint, there were very scared people up there. They were freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
The humans know what duct tape is. They know how duct tape feels. They understand,
right.
you know, what cardboard is. You needed the humans to come up with the creativity to, in that moment when there was so much at stake, have the courage to solve the problem. And so that's the difference between AI. AI can do all the prep work.
Yeah.
It can put the things in the box.
Right.
But it needs us humans who bring the clarity of what it means to be a human and the courage to do something new.
Nice. Mm.
To move it forward. And I am very, very excited about that. So to your question about like a lawyer in 2030, okay, that lawyer is happier. She wakes up in the morning and she's happier in part because all night long her bots have been like going through all the files and doing all the prep work.
Mm.
She's being compensated not for how many hours that she logs, but for the impact that she makes and the judgment that she brings to the table. Furthermore, instead of taking 12 years to become a partner and making more money and having that prestige, it's going to take about 6 years.
Yeah.
Because she's not doing all the busy work. She's taking 6 years using her brain and learning her judgment and really evolving that skill set. So I think that's a very exciting thing for those of us who can feel comfortable in that zone, in that mode of working.
And I like that anecdote of the box. That box can be your guideline, like your rails, your guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever's in the inside or the outside now has to use the brain, use their skill set, use their expertise to execute the plan.
Right. And to innovate and dot connect. Like they didn't know what they were doing and there was so much at stake.
Right.
They were going to die.
Yeah.
They had like 6 hours left or something.
Yeah. They are going to tell you how to connect those dots, but you need a human to execute those connections.
Right. Because the AI doesn't know which particular dots are going to make sense in our human context.
Right. And going back to the part one of what you had given us the anecdote about, like Facebook, when they changed to Meta, it sounds like they didn't have the intent clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were not
exactly
a great company. There was no intent.
Right.
They didn't know.
It was marked as I had this idea. It's like, well, we're all going to do these things. And we don't have legs and it's cool and we're going to be good.
Yeah.
And people were like, this makes no sense to me.
Right.
But when they got it together, then their market cap, I mean, obviously they're doing great now. So they of course corrected.
Yeah, but at the beginning, there was like, again, we didn't know why that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't hear anything.
I mean, I was so puzzled by the whole metaverse thing, but that's just me.
Mm.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you get pushback from people in the field with AI? How much is the pushback?
So the pushback I get from like the CIOs and the CTOs are kind of like, we don't need you. This is about the technology.
Hmm.
And my point is, but you do need the people to want to adopt the technology and truly be heartfelt about how they use it. And then the other pushback, that there are people who I think legitimately, honestly, are worried that they're not going to be able to rise to the occasion, that they aren't hardwired to feel comfortable doing that dot connecting and really innovating.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because they've probably had jobs where they've been told to like stay in your lane and do your thing, and we don't want you thinking creatively because that's just noise. And now it's like the bots are going to do your job, so be creative. And they're like, well, I've just spent 27 years not doing this. Like, help me here.
So it's like practicing something and then you're told to unpractice it and then do it again.
And your career is at stake and like your livelihood. So of course people are like choking up around that a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. And I remember during COVID there was this big thing about digital transformation because everything is going from papers and documents to digital world. So now how do you make this transformation happen?
Right?
Mm.
Right.
Because I remember my husband is also in the same category.
That's
for digital transformation
sense.
For fastest growing companies, like the fast 100 companies in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what these companies who were adopters of AI, who believed in this progression of like doing things differently at that time, because of course it's about hit and trial and data and what works, what doesn't, and how soon you can get to that experiment, the faster you can iterate it.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally believe in digital transformation.
Right. But the statistic I'm sure he knows is they say for every dollar spent, 70 cents is wasted because people just don't...
They don't know how to use it.
And they don't want to. And you have a lot of senior management like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that workflow. I'm not going to do this thing. Or you have people on the side, a lot of salespeople. They don't want to share...
No, go ahead. I'm telling her she has 4 minutes.
Oh, they don't want to share their data because it's like their sales, and so they've got their notebook with their handwriting all their sales in front. That's not helping anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel, okay.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. I'm always flabbergasted with AI, so I can keep talking, but let me quickly switch to my second question. Oh, what makes Portland and companies in the Pacific Northwest especially ready to lead in this next wave of change?
I think that's a great question. I think in part because we are tinkerers at heart. We like to create things. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
I take myself very serious.
And we need some of that as well.
Yeah, very serious.
And I feel like most of the people here who are innovating, who are entrepreneurs, are doing it for a good and real purpose. They want to make something meaningful in the world, and I don't think they're just about making a lot of money. So I do feel I trust more the AI innovation that's coming from the Pacific Northwest and Portland. Does that answer the question?
Getting to my next question. What was the insight that made you decide to expand from global brand campaigns to helping companies with the human side of digital transformation?
So we still do a lot of brand strategy as our work. It's probably 60-40. And it was just because I realized it's the same skill set. Like the brand is the internal north compass. It's the North Star. And so if people understand, okay, the reason we're doing this transformation, because it's in honor of this North Star, it's who we truly are. If that story is told, then it helps make the transformation tangible. Okay, I understand why we're doing this. Compelling. Okay, it's change is hard. It kind of sucks. We've been doing a lot of it, but this is going to be good for me and my team and my company. And then successful. Oh, okay, you've told me how we're going to measure this. Like, I know how we're all going to be held accountable. I can play this game, you know.
Yeah, everything's about measuring at the end. You want those metrics. You want to measure it because that's how you rate if this is successful or not.
Right.
No, you go.
Oh, we have more time.
Yeah, you have more time.
Okay. All right, we will take up on one more question for you.
You have two more questions.
Two more questions. Yeah. We have 8 minutes.
Yeah, we have 8 minutes.
Oh, we have
eight minutes.
I thought you said we had
we did, yeah.
I four.
We was on a different clock.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all
our
right.
time.
All right. You've said the real challenge with AI and digital transformation isn't the tech, but it is the people. What do you mean by that?
And it's not to be disparaging of people at all. It is because there has been just decades now of transformation. And in fact, there was a meme on Instagram that like, it's like, oh, going to work today is like you put the Shemuda in the Duduita, and then you have to, like, you know, it's like we all have these all different platforms. They all have weird names, and all the workflows are different. And it's hard to, like, deal with all of that. And then now it's like, okay, and again, your career and livelihood are at stake. Like, have at it. And so people just need to trust and understand and be brought into the storytelling around why we are doing it. And I think when companies take the time to do that and really care,
It's inviting,
and then it's more successful. It is. People will play. They want to do the right thing.
So the gist, everything comes down to the why.
Yes.
And it's the same as when you tell your kids, why is this important, why they shouldn't be doing this, or why they should be doing something, that hits much more.
Yes.
And I always say that to my mom, like, just because you did something, I don't need to do it, unless you tell me why.
Right.
What was your why? And if I resonate with it, I'll meet you halfway. If it doesn't, I'll pick my own poison.
Right.
So that why, and the companies...
Yes. And the dotted line is, you shouldn't scale until you have clarity about who you really are. And if you're transforming your company and it's a mess, you're just going to amplify that mess.
I agree.
And that's bad for the health of the company. Look at Meta, $230 billion lost in a single day.
Yes.
So you don't want to do that. You want to get really clear and then do the transformation with buy-in and clarity.
And isn't that what they say in transformation, like following the lean strategy, which is take two small experiments, because you don't want to scale with the messy experiments, which are failures or which needs a lot of iteration. So do small experiments so that you fail fast, and then you iterate it. And the more number of times you can iterate, the better the transformation comes out to be.
Not a lot of like self-development principles from that. What you just said, so really
and
cool.
I see my personal life development as an iteration every day.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read that book by James Clear, Atomic Habits. That's what it teaches you, which is grow better by 1% every day. He talks about improving by 1%, and the outcomes it can deliver is life changing. So that's what I believe in every day. If I just change myself 1% personally, professionally, they're going to have a bigger impact.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right, I think we have time for one more question. What was, what are the 5 shifts people can make to thrive in an AI-powered workplace? Are they really that accessible?
They are accessible because these are muscles, okay? So one is to go from needing to be an expert to being an editor, to be more of a generalist, and again, like knowing how to like pull streams of things together and find a path forward. It's not knowing everything, but knowing what's right. Another one is, we talked about from output to outcome. Like, it doesn't care how much the stuff you churn, but measure by the problem solved. From being a specialist to a synthesizer, so the people who can connect the dots, AI is really good at going deep at something, putting the stuff in the box. Humans are really good about the breadth of, like, here's the right solution for this moment in time. Also, skills are like churning so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really the people who, it's not so much what you learn, but the ones who learn really, really quickly. They don't hold on to the old skills, like, I want to learn something new, I'm excited about that. And finally, creative over people who are confident. Like, it's not saying, like, well, this is how we do it. It's more like, hey, what if? Mm-hmm. Like, those are the real, those are the changes. Yes. So I call it small I innovation. Like, people, you do it. You're very much like this, I can tell.
Yeah.
Small I innovations every single day.
Yes, yes. Love that. Are you more of an experiment person, Charles?
Say that one more time.
Are you more of an experiment person, like, who likes to do experiments, or you just like to stay with your in your lane, do your thing?
Oh, yeah, I like to do experiments, and I like the fact that you said little experiments over time, little ones here and there, learn quickly, and you improve, so I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, do you use this kind of as a personal development thing for yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a sponge, you know. I mean, I obviously I love technology. I mean, I was drawn to it very, very early on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just, it's, I'm never bored.
Mm. Very cool. So, hey, so that's the deep dive with Pallavi. Pallavi?
Is there anything else you would like to add to a conversation? Like, how do people find you?
How do people find me? Well, I have a website, www.curryandcollective.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, and they can find me there, Kim Lily Curry. And, I just love helping good companies, and helping them be able to be as great as they can possibly be for themselves and their employees. I think that's really important.
So, well, do we touch on why? I mean, what if it's a bad company? Is it just like you're frustrated with them? You just don't have patience,
well,
or what?
I don't. I mean,
it feels like a small startup, or
small's like good. There's some
small.
Amazing.
I'm small.
Yeah, good.
I'm small, literally.
I have
a small business too.
Some of my clients are local not-for-profits that have got tiny budget, but they are fabulous companies.
Yeah.
The things that they want to do.
Yeah.
So I am all for that. It's assholes. I don't have. Too old to deal with people who are not going to show up in their best every day.
So I think there's a call to action here. Like, if your company has intent, purpose, clarity, upgrade yourself to a good standard, great standard, and then you're ready to work with Kimberly.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Very nice. All right. So, so this is Voice of Vision. You're listening to Voice of Vision with KBOO Radio.
Yay, we got the two O's.
With Pallavi and Charles Chambry. Have an awesome, thank you so much for coming on the show. Have an awesome, awesome day.
Yay.
All right, this is the interview with Charles Chambers. I got my friend here, Pallavi. We were here at KBOO Cable Radio here prepping for Earth Day. We'll be co-hosting for Earth Day here at KBOO Radio and also prepping for our new show coming up, a tag team presentation on KBOO Radio, as well as doing videos for YouTube, social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. We have an upcoming show to be named. So, Pallavi, how is it going, my team player? How's it going, my friend?
It's going wonderful, and I have no doubt I have the best person from town right here. So we're going to be coming up together, and the show is probably going to be impactful stories with Pallavi and Charles Chambry. And like he said, the name is still a secret. We will be spitting out the beans in some time for that, so tune in.
Good, good. So again, we're going to be interviewing leaders, business owners, authors. If you're interested in letting your voice be heard and you like our chemistry and, again, you want to be promoted, our show is something to watch and obviously something to listen to on KBOO. How we stay in contact with you, Pallavi?
That is easy. You can email me at my first name, first three letters, P-A-L, followed by my last name, there's a dot in the middle, pandey@gmail.com. That is how you can reach out to us, because we want to give a voice to you, your thoughts. And that is why this show is important to us, because we want to uplift your stories. We want to share it with the world, and we want to perhaps get people who can resonate with them. That is what our purpose here is.
Very nice. And that's Interviews with Charles Chambray.
KBOO 90.7 FM en Portland, K282BH 104.3 en Philomath y K2220HR 91.9 en Hood River.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7.